Let me tell you the fast way to make your house safe. Fastest way.
Get a maid.
Onions. Yeah, better than that.
Onions.
Even better than onions.
Nah,
talked about onions great. Already. Onions we talked about last.
Mix milk and meat somewhere.
Oh, I'll tell you how you do it. The best way to make a kitchen treif. And people don't even realize it. You have gloves in your kitchen. Gloves. Oven mitts. The oven mitts, you have to be very, very careful. They have separate ones. They have separate oven mitts for the milchiks and the fleishiks. They are molly b'en, because you touch all types of pots. They absorb who knows what from all types of hot things. And you just take them out of the drawer, you'll see they're packed with b'en, coated. And a lot of people are not careful to use different ones for the milchiks and the fleishiks. This is the fastest way to make your house treif.
About parv and
same thing.
You should have three sets.
You need a safer or anything?
No, thank you. You should have three sets. This is the fastest way to make your house treif. Is to use the oven mitts from milchiks to fleishiks to parv. It's not there's real b'en. Your kid, it's not Tom. You can't compete with this weather. This is the best.
Most of our homes are
treif. I hope this. You know, it's a little bit like the Maisa that Rabbi Shulayb Diskin, he had a very sharp Rebbetzin, very sharp, you didn't know, very, very brilliant and very sharp. So he once, before Pesach, so she was down on her hands and knees scrubbing the place clean. So we had Rachmanas on us. She said, Shein genug, enough already, you know? So she looked at it up from the floor, and she said, I've lost the fire for the Shchonan gegessen Chametz on Pesach. If I would have relied upon you, I long ago would have eaten Chametz on Pesach, you know? So Baruch Hashem, neighbors, they gave the kitchen to Shemrim, you know?
That's like Reb Chaim with his Rebbetzin with your day of, I would have had a treif house.
So, you know, the Baruch Hashem, the ladies keep us out. Yeah.
So, how about...
Well, this is one of the...
Laundry and the turkey, does the
turkey
work for
Be'en? Well, listen, when you wash it, usually you clean off the Be'en and it's pagan whatever's left, by and large.
What's
Be'en? Mamoshes, if you have actual, you know, you get, if you look in the gloves, you have actual pieces of whatever you handled.
Sediment.
So, yeah. Inevitably. So, this is the fastest way to make your house treif. Now I'll tell you the second fastest way to make your house treif. And the second fastest way to make your house treif is by having one microwave. Now, not that you can't have one microwave and handle it in a way which is kosher, which I'll tell you. But the problem with microwaves is twofold. People don't realize that the microwave actually gets heated up. Not directly, but indirectly. It's designed usually of such materials that the microwave is different than an oven. The oven walls get hot from the heat of the oven. The microwaves do not affect the walls of the microwave. But when you have something which has steam in it, so you have hot steam which hits the walls of the microwave. So this is the equivalent we have, the famous halacha, that Iroi Kli Rishon, if you take water from a pot which is on the fire and you pour it on something else, so how far does it cause a blia absorption to take place? So it's a significant question. So we find there was a famous machlokes of this of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, which had to do with defeathering chickens. So the best way to defeather a chicken is you dump hot water on it, which causes the pores to expand, and then you can pull out the feathers. I mean, talking after a shochten, it's easiest to pull out the feathers, and that's the way the whole world does it. So in the time of the Rishonim, there erupted a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashbam. family feud. You know, if this practice is acceptable or not. So the Rabbeinu Tam said that when you dump hot water on something, it doesn't cook the whole thing, that's true, but a thin outer layer gets cooked. So therefore the blood, if it's before melicha, so the blood gets cooked, and once the blood is cooked, it enters the flesh slightly, and then melicha, salting, will no longer take it out. So you render it non-kosher.
Is it only touching the skin?
What? But it's inside, but you have blood right under the skin. All right, you know. So that dam, wherever it hits, it causes a blia of knei klipa.
And they don't do it before they open the animal?
So that's the problem. So the problem is, so the Rashbam said it's not true. It does not have any such effect. The Eruv Klirishon does not move Ashel at all. So it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch in varied places brings both deis, and he's always Choshish L'chumra. So there's no absolute Hachra. But in every case, in Hilchos Shabbos, he's Machmer, that pouring from a Klirishon is Bishul. When in Hilchos Melicha, so where it's L'chumra is Choshish for Rashbam, that it's not Bishul. Where it is a Chumra, it's Choshish for Rabbeinu Tam. So the Shulchan Aruch plays both sides. So that's why in kosher chicken processing, if you ever had a plumber, for example, an old plumber from Empire, I haven't looked at a wall, but I used to say they didn't use water over 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So they wanted to reassure the public that there was no way they were anywhere near Yatzal Ledes, which would make a problem, because we are Chayshish L'chumra. So even if you have steam, hot steam also has the ability to cause a blea of Kedei Klipa. So if I could warm up a bowl of chicken soup in a microwave, so the walls absorb a little bit of chicken soup. So it's a little bit, that much is fleishik. Now if I warm milk there later, so now I have milchiks and fleishiks in the same clay. If it's in one day, it's possible cholof. So that's problem number one, that people don't realize. There was a lot of confusion with microwaves because the microwave was never hot to the touch. The second problem with microwaves is ovens have one big mila to them, and that is they burn everything up. Because of the fact that they burn everything up, if you leave them dirty, they smoke, get smoky. So consequently, your oven you can't leave too dirty, because the results are not going to be very pleasant. It's going to smell, you're going to have smoke. The microwave is very easygoing. It doesn't burn things, you don't get smoke, you don't get... So because of that, people are not particular to clean microwaves well. The classic case that I had, a woman calls me up, and she had then, I think the microwave was downstairs in the basement, whatever, and she sent her kid down to warm it up, and she warmed up some knishes over there and whatever. A little kid, he climbed up, he put it in, he brought it back. Eventually she discovered there was leftover cholent on the bottom of the microwave. And now she took the things that she defrosted in there, and now she put it into the milchiga toaster oven. So the problem starts to cascade. So microwaves, you know, really the best solution with microwaves, is especially with the cost nowadays, the cost is negligible nowadays, is to have two of them. That is really the best of all worlds. If you're going to have one, then it's really, you have to do two things. At least take the one that you use the smallest amount of times. Let's say you're a fleishiks guy, so you put fleishiks in there. So what you should do is cover everything else that you put inside. Cover the power of it that you put in, leave the fleishiks open if you want, and cover the power of it and cover the milchiks.
What is coming?
You know, put it
clogged.
What?
Top, bottom.
You know, we'll talk. I mean, first of all, put it like in a closed plastic bag. Secondly, what's important, especially important, is to put at least some type of clean paper or something underneath it so that you're sure that you're not sitting on a bed. Preferably even two sheets of paper underneath for that reason. So if there's anything there, it doesn't get absorbed into it. But if you have it wrapped in plastic plus a sheet of paper, you're in good shape.
I found that, I've had this problem a couple of times. When you, at least for me, when you put a Ziploc bag or whatever it is.
It's going to pop open. You know, you have to.
Right, yeah.
So you don't have to tie it so quickly, because what you're concerned with is not what goes out. You could leave it with a small space for open. What you want is the steam to go out. You don't want it to be easy for the steam to come back inside.
So
if you leave a little opening, usually, you know, there's not tons of steam. So usually you'll be all right. But you have to, if it has a lot of liquid, it's going to pop open. That is true. What I tried to do was to put it in a plastic bag and tuck it underneath it, or tie the plastic bag closed, you know. Usually that's, you know, if you don't, heat it for so long, you're not making tons of steam. So you...
They seem to tell you not to.
Oh, I'll tell you why. What did they tell you? You know, we live in a country that fell on its head. That fell on its head. What? This, a woman goes to a coffee shop, right? And she buys a cup of coffee, and she spills some of the coffee on herself, and she burns herself. So she sues the place that the coffee is too hot, and she collects it. And she collects it. Okay, now you tell me they're not for foreign. They're not, they didn't go over the deep end. You know, you went to buy a hot cup of coffee, not a cold cup of coffee. So you expect you're going to spill it on your finger and it's going to be fine. You know? So because of that, you know, the microwave people are afraid somebody's going to sue them, that the steam got them. Now, the microwave, dealing with a bag or close something in the microwave is not different than opening a hot pot on the stove. So when you take it out with a towel, then you take a fork and you pierce a few holes, and you let the excess steam out, and then you'll cut it open.
Oh, it's the chemicals that they say. Chemicals get into the food.
What, from what?
The plastic.
Plastic. There's a lot of wasps.
What?
Baby bottles, plastic, and baby
Listen, buddy, you know, so you don't use paper or styrofoam if that's what you like. If you don't like styrofoam, I don't know, everything they tell you is going to kill you, you know. You know, it can't help, you know.
So
use a real plate if you want.
So what we're saying is, let's say that you have these microwave things,
a
bottom and a top that goes on.
So then you close, and then just put a sheet of paper underneath, and you're fine.
Okay, now sometimes it can pop open.
Yeah. So the problem is the following. Yeah. The problem is, usually, because they pop open, I usually, when I had one microwave, I covered everything I put into the microwave to lessen the chance that something's going to happen. Now when they pop open, so then it's a problem. What's the problem? So then the microwave might have absorbed flaschiks, milliliters, whatever it is. So then what you have to do is you don't use it for 24 hours. You wash the inside out. You put a cup of water inside. You spill a little down on the bottom, assuming that you have a glass turntable, which most of them have nowadays, not ceramic. You spill the water under the cup. You put a cup of water in, and you put it on, and you let it steam up. Once the inside steams up, it's kosher again. But you're trying to avoid it. So microwaves have this problem that people don't usually clean them properly. So microwaves, you really, really have to be careful about.
At work, we don't know what microwave was designated to be.
Forget, it doesn't help. Listen,
in a hotel.
You,
in a hotel,
it doesn't help, and yeshiva doesn't help. Forget it at work. I have a klal gadol that all the microwaves in yeshiva are truth. Well, if they're in the dining room and the students have to do it there, I'm a broch altogether. Forget about it. You know, you can't follow the chanem, they'll come to Frankfurt and what's melechik. I mean, it just doesn't, you know, they don't get it. Elamai, we have one in the Rebbe's room. The one in the Rebbe's room is also treif. Why? Not because of the Rebbeim. The Rebbeim know what they're doing. But it's not only the Rebbe's room. The English teachers also use the same room. So there we have non-Jews, non-frum Jews, frum Jews. So after one day of having the microwave, we don't know that it's kosher anymore. So in any place, you put it inside. What do? I put it inside two plastic bags. I close them up, and gamarno. And that's how, by and large, it works. You know, it's pretty rare that they actually pop open. You know, you tie a knot in them, and that's it at the end. You take a knife, and you cut it open, and that's all. So that's usually what I do, and that usually, yes.
So you just, if you're like in a hotel... You put it in
two plastic bags.
Ziplocs
pop open because they're not strong enough. Regular plastic bag.
Like a shopping bag, garbage bag.
Yeah, regular plastic.
It has to be tied.
Tie it. Yeah.
Leave a little breathing room.
But you have to be tight. You can listen tight, closed. Nothing's going to happen.
And put something underneath also?
Yes, and then put something. If you have two bags, you don't need anything underneath because you have double bagged
already. What if it opens up? But if somehow it pops
up? If it all opens, you're going to have problems.
I mean, let's say it's I don't care about the microwave because it's the hotel microwave. But the
Yes, and you could have problems. I will tell you, I don't think it's ever happened to me. And I've been in many hotels. I don't think it happened once.
Could a person have a designated Tupperware container that he uses for that kind of thing? That he puts the things inside of that and he seals it up? That accomplish the same thing?
Again?
Let's say I had some kind of microwave food. I put it inside a Tupperware container and I sealed it up. So that's not worse than a bag, right?
No, it's not worse than a bag, no.
And I could reuse that container in a tray of microwave more than
one? Well, what did you put it on? If you put it on a sheet of paper, you'd be able to reuse it, yeah. They don't have
nothing. But you have to heat up the same type of item.
Fleishigs or whatever it is, yeah.
But when you give the example of someone who used it to defrost something, and it popped open or whatever, is that only...
It was bad there. It wasn't even popping open. It wasn't closed in the first place. They just put it in a tray, and there was chunked under it.
All right, so let's say there's a case where it's a clean microwave, you defrosted stuff, but unless you like really defrost things, usually doesn't get hot. It's on a low temperature.
It's so. Not so simple. You know, the problem is the outside could get hot. You know, if you'd be really absolutely sure that it didn't get hot, you'd be in good shape. But it's not so easy to be sure.
What the hell up in that case with the Kanish?
Well, it was she wanted to know about the status of the microwave. So I told her, listen, it's, you know, in those days microwaves used to cost money.
It was a Milchik Kanish?
Or it was a Milchik microwave. It was supposed to be a power of a microwave. I mean, it was a Milchik toaster oven. So I told her, I'll look for a hat for her, because she says, Rabbi, do me a favor, don't find me a hat. I want my husband to buy me a new one.
A microwave like meal that comes in a container that's sealed, does that count as one wrapping?
Or that's one wrapping, yeah.
That's one wrapping.
That's one wrapping.
And then, if let's say it's double wrapped, then the inner wrapping opens up.
Not a problem.
And if the outer wrapping?
Assuming, again, the main place that you need the double is on the bottom. You don't need double on the top.
So as long as it doesn't open up on the bottom, you'd be okay.
As long as on the bottom you had a double, and one open on the top, you wouldn't have a problem.
So the airplane foods, which I think a microwave, have
double wrapped.
You open the outer wrapping and the inner ones pop, it's not a problem.
It's not a problem, no. And airplanes, you do have to be careful, by the way, for a very simple reason. You know, I've traveled enough. I've been up enough nights on the plane, wandering around. So in the middle of the night, I came once, and the staff wanted to eat. So they were interested in making, they were like yeshiva guys, you know, they wanted to make grilled cheese. So they took bread and cheese, and they put it into the microwaves, or what were the ovens that they used to warm the food. So they made grilled cheese in there. You know, the next lunch you're getting is fleishig is coming out of the same microwave or the same oven. That's why it has to be double wrapped. I'm telling you, even though everything on the airline is kosher, it's all kosher. It's not halal. That's kosher, and all the food is kosher. It's healthy garnished. The staff is not. It's the realities of life. You have to face that situation.
Well, that's why all airline meals are double wrapped.
Yes.
For that reason.
Yeah.
So your issue is the bottom, so if you had a TV dinner that's like on top of a paper plate?
You'd be fine.
Okay.
Well, if it's closed on the top and the one double on the bottom, you're fine. The double is in case, let me explain. Well, let's start really with the source of this dinner. I'll explain it to you. We have a halacha which is called Tukaderas, shtekaderas, meaning to say that let's say I have two pots on the fire and they bump. I have two hot pots. So one is milchik, so one is fleishik. Not a good idea to be cooking in such fashion, but life is what it is. So the two pots now, you come and the two pots are touching. There's no steam, the two pots just touched, they bumped. You pull them right immediately away from each other. So what's the din? So the halacha is that shtei kederes if there's no liquid in between them, do not ask each other. Why? Because the medium by which tam could go from one to the other is through a fluid. Without fluid, nothing's happening. So that's the halacha of Tukadera. So basically, all the double wrapping is trying to accommodate this situation. It's to produce a situation where at the worst, then it'll be Tukadera. In other words, I'll have, let's say, treif, then I'll have clean number one, and then on top of that, it'll be clean number two, and then the food. So there'll be no means, even if there's treif underneath the bottom plate, but it can go up through that and migrate into the top plate. That's the lumdus of two kederos. That is a huge tumult about shtei kederos, what its parameters are. Many assume that this is only mutter b'di evad. That might make some problems if you assume that. If you assume that you had to stay away from shtei kederos lechatchila, then we could ask a lot of questions about our double wrapping, if our double wrapping is... You know, when we're in a situation, basically, to supervise it, it's one thing. When we're not in a situation, it's being heated for us elsewhere. If we really had to be machma l'chatchila, I'm not so sure that the two kederos would help either. Now, Rav Moshe Zatzal, based on a very interesting halacha, contended that shtei kederos is mutar l'chatchila. Well, where is this? A very peculiar halacha, the truth is. The halacha states, me'ikar adin, means, if you just want to fulfill the halacha with no chumras at all, the Shulchan Aruch has chumras, so we're supposed to fulfill them. But what's bottom line halacha? Bottom line halacha is the following. If I take, on Pesach, a pot of kosher food, kosher the Pesach food, knedlach, and chicken soup for the Seder, and I come, and the Goyish Amei just put on that burner, she just took off a pot of chazer and lokshin, and pasta, boiling away, nothing spilled. Then I come, and I can put my pot on that burner, and it's kosher the mahadrin for the Seder. That's a din. That's mitzvah. Good. We have chumras that we don't do that. We burn it out in between. Fine. We burn it up. No, but that's chumras. What is the din based on? So there are two parts that the din is based upon. Number one is a general assumption that whatever spills out burns up. So we have in general, for that reason, we're not makpit to have burners that are dafka for melachiks and fleshiks, for that reason. Now, still we have to exercise a little bit of care to make sure that they're clean. In other words, if you take, for example, a pan of chicken out of the stove, wife takes it out, and she wants to put it down someplace, and she puts it down on the burner, and she spills a little of the oil from the chicken on it, and then she takes it off. And then she puts a powerful pot on there and puts it on. So that powerful pot is now going to become fleshig. So we do have to exercise some measure of caution. But the halacha generally states that what spills when the fire is on is assumed to burn up and does not absorb into the burners.
So wouldn't you just turn on the burner and burn away the oil?
You could, yeah. But you have to remember to do it. There's a second assumption that it remains like two kederos. Meaning, even if the grate absorbed something, so that's like one pot. My pot of the chicken soup on top is a second pot. So shtei kederos, things don't pass from one to the other without liquid. So I guess if the liquid spills over, so we only have one heter, and we don't have shtei kederos, then we're saying on the other heter that nothing was absorbed in the first place. So the Mishnah wants to know, what is the heter to put this pot on? This is what the Chofetz Chaim says is the reason. But this is shtei kederos. So how could it be mutar l'chatchila for Pesach? So it seems to be tzar adin, it's even mutar l'chatchila. After everything, after that is chumras. We do have chumras. We don't rely upon them. But so we can, at least with the evet, if it happened, it certainly it's kosher. But we do have to be careful, as I pointed out before, to keep be'en, keep mamoshes of food, off the burners. If we do to wash them off, before we start to cook. Otherwise, we're going to have problems. So that's where this notion, that's where the basic notion. So it started with the din of two kederes, din of two pots touch. That the food, the bliya, does not go through. So similarly, that's the whole Indian of the two kederes that we make, or the two wrappings that we make, is to set up the situation of shtei kederes. That's the theory that lies behind it.
What about when the steam, the Rebbe said the main thing is on the bottom, that way it can't go from the bottom of the microwave through the pot in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but on top, we only need one covering.
All we need
Why only need one on top?
Because the top is not touching anything.
Right,
the top is not touching. The top is in the air. So as long as, what can happen? If the oven fills up with steam, then that steam is a conduit by which something from the top of the oven comes down to the food. But if the steam can't reach the top of the oven because it's tight closed, then there's no issue.
This is a big problem for those glass oven, the glass stovetops. Which I know the Rav doesn't recommend the glass stovetops, but that only helps...
Right, the glass to glass.
So does it help for the burning part?
Yes, it's not worse.
It doesn't help in between, right?
Oh, that's true by any stove.
Right. Well,
the problem with the glass tops is not for the whole year. For the whole year, they're not worse than anything else.
Except that the pot goes over, and on our burners, it's raised, so it doesn't really ever touch the middle of the oven, of the stove top.
The problem is with Pesach, you don't want to have a stovetop around it if you happen to touch it. Is not kosher to Pesach. And the glass, so glass is a strange material. Does glass cheres, we say earthenware has blia, can absorb, and can't be purged. Metal, wood, stone can absorb and be purged. What's the status of glass? Generally, what was makubal and all the deres to rachumris again, but what was makubal was that glass doesn't become treif. That was the makubal. There was a shaila that a few of the rabbanim here were involved with once many, many years ago, and all of them agreed that it's mutter. And then Rabbi Steinberg met the Kloisenberger Dayan, who's the official of Hershkowitz, who's the foremost Chassidish Dayan. And he told him, he says, what do you want? He says, the Messiah was to be Mekel. That's the Messiah. The Messiah is to be Mekel for class. I said, again, there are chumras, but the Messiah was to be Mekel. That even it's me, Lamaisa, Aloha Lamaisa. So, but that is only for the whole year. The Ramah, when it comes to Pesach, treated glass like earthenware. So, a Mela, earthenware cannot be kasher for Pesach. So how are we going to kasher a stovetop? And to apply an extreme degree of heat to it, we can't. It cracks. As I tell people all the time, I came to one of my Chassidish friends once on a Sunday to Borough Park, and he showed me, he put on the blech for Shabbos, he just got himself a glass top, and he had about 3,000 pieces there.
What happened?
It just shattered. Under the blech.
Half the time, they try to kosher it for
Pesach. Shattered. Thousands of little pieces. Absolutely shattered. As, you know, there was a guy that came to my house once to a non-Jewish guy, Lentz, an appliance repairman. He says, Rabbi, the problem with these appliances, he says, they're all made by guy cups like me. That's what that's what this guy tells me. Exact quote. He says, they're all made like guy cups like me. He says, these guys in Iowa have no idea what they use this for in New York. And he says, if they would know what the blech, whatever, they would put the insulation that they're going to melt from the heat, whatever, but they don't, you know, they just don't know what they're doing.
Ceramic is earthenware?
Yeah.
They wonder why in New York everyone buys new grates around that time.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the problem with the glass?
You can't kasher it. When you put the way we would kasher it, grates, if you put, even we have to do, we don't do Lieben Gomer, but even the Lieben that we do on the grates, if you do it on a glass top, it's very likely going to crack.
Is that the
Ikra Lava or the Chumra? The Ramos Machmer that we have to do it for Pesach. So that's
the grates?
Even the greats, yeah.
There was a Rav Lezahal video that he put a canopy on and he put a straw there to burn in between the burners of the glass top oven.
Listen, you got to be lucky. You could not be so lucky, you know.
And if he did it on his own, no.
Yeah, it cannot be, because it can get mighty hot. I will tell you, in commercial settings, when you kasha the racks of ovens, they don't kasha them anything like you and I would kasha them.
Red hot.
In a commercial kitchen, you have steel-topped ovens. There's no ceramic. The whole thing is steel-topped. Heavy gauge. So what they do is they take all the racks and they can put them on a 6-burner oven, pile them all up, close them all up with aluminum foil, put all the flames on the highest, and they'll leave them there for 2-3 hours. And you look inside the thing, everything in there is red. The goyim go nuts because they never saw them so clean in their life. You know, but you can generate tremendous amounts of heat in that situation. Tremendous, awesome amounts of heat. But that's generally the way you do it commercially. You don't bother, you don't have to clean them or whatever. You just put them there and leave them a few, everything burns up. There's nothing left.
Well, people here, they put it in the oven for Pesach.
Yeah, they put it in the self-cleaning. Oh, but the self-cleaning is kid stuff as compared to what they do commercially. Yeah. Oh.
Great.
To go back to the microwave for one second, when you double wrap the food in the microwave in a hotel, you don't have to worry about mamashas, right?
No. Correct. Listen, always the wisest course of action is when you start off, make sure the thing is clean. Take the 2 minutes to clean it up. Then you have the least possibility of problems. Now, another thing that you have to watch out for is heat has to be vented. If you don't vent heat, it gets to be a pretty dangerous situation. Something's going to blow up. So, consequently, whatever heating device you have has some type of venting to it to keep the heat in check, that the pressure shouldn't build up. Now, ovens also have vents. Now, where do the vents come out? Usually in one of two places. You have to be aware of that. Sometimes you see in the back of the oven, in other words, behind where the burners are, in the rear part of the oven, like a little bunch of little holes. Something shaped like this, sort of like an elongated O, like shaped like the rings of a chain. In that shape. So that's the vents which allow the heat to come out. So if you're cooking fleishiks there, you don't want to have a milchik pot right in that spot because you have hot steam coming out there. Now, what happened over the time, for whatever the reasons, I don't know. I'm not involved with the design. I have no idea what the design factors in ovens. But in some ovens, they vent through one of the burners. The vent comes up under one of the burners. So that you have to be especially careful about. In the back, people tend to be more careful because you're aware of it. Yeah, you don't even realize. You could be shooting and have a roast beef inside and cooking milchiks on the top. And the steam that's coming up is fleishig from underneath. So you have to be very, very careful about that to see how exactly it's being vented in your particular situation so that you don't wind up with it being vented right into the milchiks. This is also a problem of significance.
But otherwise, could you have something that's like either bisri chalavi inside the oven and something else on top of the stove,
if
that's fine?
Yeah. It's not continuous. There are a lot of layers in between.
If the vent from the oven does come up and touch an opposite gender...
You probably have to kosher it. That's my assumption.
Even if it's empty?
It's empty for sure. What's the difference? Full is sometimes easier. We saw last time from the Mesbeya. But if it's empty, there is more reason that you have to kasher it.
So when the Rav said, like, clear the area and not to have machas and fleishiks pots in the same area, it's even when using the oven.
Yes, you got to watch out for the vent. Correct.
On the glass top ovens, a glass of stovetops, if there's a disc that's flat and it somehow carries the heat, so it's raised off the other parts, do you need to kosher it?
I don't think that you need to kosher it, because I don't think the food is gonna it could conceivably get there. The problem with the glass tops, a lot of times they're also sealed in glass too. So I don't think that you have to worry about that piece, that disc. Any questions?
Feel a double covering and it's wet in the middle. Is that a problem between the two bags?
If it'll get wet in between, you could have problems. So you're trying to avoid that happening. I guess the general assumption is it's probably not dirty outside. And, you know, if it's wrapped two times around, sometimes they have it wrapped, you know, it's not usual that you're going to have much of a problem. And I would assume, even if you got a little bit of something there, you probably would be bottle anyhow at that point.
Is Rav Hanan getting into the sink counter and those things?
Not today, no. Not today.
Oh.
Yeah, I told my Talmidim, listen, it's only 7 weeks till Purim.
Oh my gosh.
So that got a smile out of him.
You should put two plates. Let's say you're going to a hotel, a tray for microwave. You should put two paper plates on the bottom and then put it in plastic, right? And maybe
yes.
Put a couple little holes in the plastic if you want on top.
You're better off not making holes in the plastic. Tie it tightly closed.
Also,
when you take it out, then make the holes.
Or is it possible, is it better like if you stay more than one night, then you should clean it?
Well, then you could do it. If you cleaned it out and it hasn't been used in 24 hours, or at least if you kept it sealed, you didn't let steam get into it for 24 hours, then you could kosher it.
So you should clean it out, and then the next day you could use it right now.
Yeah. You could kosher it with steaming it.
For how long do you have to run it, do you think?
Enough that you're getting steaming up the walls.
That could be maybe 15, 20.
Whatever it is, whatever you have to do. I can't tell you a number on it.
So the first night you could cover it, and then the next night you could kosher it.
Yes. Yeah, you? Yeah.
The continuous grate stovetops, are those more or less of a problem than regular stovetops?
You're talking the one that has the grate in the middle.
It's just like one long grate. You'll have your four burners.
Yeah.
So you can move a pot in the middle section. I guess the middle section.
The middle section is a problem. I came to Los Angeles once. I forgot why I was in Los Angeles that time. But one of my friends had the stove, and he came and picked me up. He wanted me to examine this stove. And the middle is a problem, because the middle does not get that hot, usually.
So as long as it's dry, you still have the idea of the...
If it's dry and clean, it's not a problem that you go over it. But I wouldn't use it bekvias, because if things are going to spill on it, it is going to become melechik soflashik. It does not have a flame under it.
So you never want to really put a pot down on that area?
Correct. Or set it for one type. That's all.
I thought steam only can trace up the food, not the pot.
Why not? I don't know. I don't know any reason you should make such an assumption.
I don't know.
No. There's a lot of boss of the cholov made by steam. A lot.
Is it like
Bishel's
steam?
Yeah, it's like Bishel. Yeah, it's Amish Bishel.
Mamish.
They use it. It's used regularly in commercial settings. They have steamers that Mamish cook with steam.
Also, so before you use a grate, whatever, it's good to like maybe heat it up for how long?
About, if you want to use a grate, cover it up for 10-15 minutes. Just the grate, not the enamel around it. Put on the flame for 10-15 minutes and it's kosher.
I'm talking about, let's say, in a normal setting, you said there might have been something spilled.
So good, so whatever, so just whatever. So see, if it doesn't look clean, you put it on. When it's still, when it'll, you'll know when it's finished, because if there's anything on it, it'll smoke. When it stops smoking, you know it's clean.
Well, let's say I cook milk, and maybe something spilled.
Then so I'll then put on the flame, and you'll see. When if there's anything on there, it'll burn off. You'll see it burn off.
How long do I have
to do? 15 minutes? Well, I don't know. You just have to wait until it stops burning off. That's all. When there's something on there, you just put out the fire on it, it burns until it's gone. You'll see it burning off.
But you don't see anything.
Then if there's nothing, if you don't see it smoking, there's nothing there.
Is it best to have separate burners for melting the fire?
Listen, it's a miler. I'm not going to say it's a chiv. It's a miler. It makes it less that you have to worry about and watch for if you could do it.
Separate stove.
If somebody has in their kitchen, a lady's cooking chicken soup, pot covered, but steam for sure comes out, and somebody else goes in, and then the adjacent burner is cooking making cheese omelet, would be usher to eat that? And the whole pot ever? I don't recommend it. I understand.
If the steam went into the milchaka pot, yeah, I wouldn't know.
You would see if it does or doesn't.
You gotta watch.
Steam goes up, not down.
Huh? What?
Steam goes
on. Yeah.
Whatever, but sometimes the pot spills over, whatever, it's complicated. Listen, you don't want to be doing such
no,
things.
No, no,
that's
no.
All.
Does the fan on top of a stove, does that ameliorate kashrus, or they just use it to get the steam out?
Well, they use it to get the steam and the smell out, but it does help for kashrus too, because you're getting less buildup of steam in the area and cooler steam. It's not going to get as hot, and you're going to eliminate a lot of the steam. Okay, Rabbi Isai, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.